15 to 20 million
jobs.
I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to our broadcast here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area and the entire world. But I would like to ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 AM. And if they are on the internet, they can go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, my thanks to our panel members, Mark Andel, founder of American Made Store, the ever-famous Larkin Connolly, East Coast Vice President of SCORE, and the well-known Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology Integration. I'm Michael Blihash, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I have to make this note today. It's a special program note. Next Wednesday, September the 23rd, we will air our broadcast from 2 in the afternoon until 3 in the afternoon. Now, this is being done so the Jewish community can air their entire Yom Kippur service without interruption. They are a regular broadcast here on 860 AM. And, of course, this is their great holiday. So we're going to move our broadcast till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, continuing until 3 in the afternoon. This is a one-time change. We'll be back to 11 o'clock the following week, and thank you all for spreading the word. We'll make sure that that message is spread around this week, and in fact, I will announce it each day during our daily broadcast here on 860. Well, joining us today, we have Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and he has a special guest. But I first would like to acknowledge, last week we had an outstanding guest, and I received an unbelievable response from the people that I met at Częstochowa's Festival. And she is Jennifer Briney. She is from Congressional Dish. And she is linked now on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And my thanks to Rich Logis for being in contact with Jennifer and welcoming her to be part of the Buy American, Support American Made effort that we strive so hard to support. Now, we'll be discussing more about Jennifer later in the program or in upcoming broadcasts. But today we have a special guest, and I'm going to ask Mark Andel if he would introduce our guest and welcome her to our panel and to our listeners. Mark.
Yes, how you doing, Mike, Rich, and the listeners? Welcome. And, yeah, I've got a very special guest today, and a little bit of how we met, probably about 3 weeks ago now. She had drove up to Buffalo, New York with her mom and came and, had asked if she could see me and had all this energy and, energy of an entrepreneur and loves America, just a great, great person. So I had the honor of meeting her and then giving her a tour of my facility. But right now I'd like to bring on B.J. Dowlin. And B.J. has an interesting story and is a woman-owned business, an entrepreneur, and has a really neat invention. So, B.J., how are you doing today?
Hi, good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Thank you for having
nice
me, everyone.
Yeah, can you, kind of tell about your background? Maybe we can start, and where you kind of came from, and what caused you to, become this entrepreneur with this great invention.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. I originally started. I was a partner in one of the largest exporting companies in the United States. Large by volume, large volume, small margin. We exported waste paper, plastics, and metals all over the world. And even though we were doing good as a company, it was driving me nuts to see that we had to export waste paper to China, to India, to South America in order to make boxes to have them shipped back here to the United States. So to me, it was like being a baseball player batting 700, but your team was losing because we just kept exporting material overseas. At the same time, we sold our business in 2004 to another privately owned company and stayed on for a couple contracts. At the same time, I had formed my company, Body Works, in 1999, working with pro athletes and teams, helping them with sports performance and getting them out of, you know, muscle recovery. When working with my athletes, one common theme was no matter how much money they made, no matter what level they reached, they always had neck cricks, knots in the shoulders and achy feet when they would go on the road and also when they were at home. So when I couldn't be with my athletes, I created my product, the Bodyworks Ball, that they could take with them on the road. And these were athletes that, you know, were making $50 million, $75 million, and they could afford anything. Yet they kept wanting my product. Fast forward to Superstorm Sandy, I got wiped out, house, car, possessions, office, inventory. And at that point, I decided that I needed to help create jobs in particular in my community and in the country. So from that point forward, I decided that every single product that I touched and that I made would be made in the U.S. So when we started our mass production, we made sure that every single component was sourced in the U.S. And that was the exact same time that we started going into mass production because we couldn't keep up with the volume handling it ourselves. So started getting manufacturers in, you know, all over the country. And that's pretty much how we started. And then it was not easy making products in the U.S. So what I started doing was documenting all the troubles I was encountering in making products in the U.S. because, first of all, people didn't want to do business with me because I was small at the time. And so I just started documenting and reaching out. You know, I wouldn't let up. And in that process, I started making a documentary and got both sides of the aisle, you know, of politicians to participate and do plant tours. And one of my local senators was very generous in his time, Senator Cory Booker, where I would we did a lot of film footage. And the really fascinating thing to me was watching him really see what skills gap issue was in manufacturing and the challenges we were facing as manufacturers in the U.S. And, you know, he took a very aggressive approach then to supporting manufacturers, you know, pending the LEAP Act and other acts. And I gave a preview of my documentary last year at the opening ceremonies for Manufacturing Week at New Jersey Institute of Technology, another great group of people who have been instrumental in supporting my efforts, the team there. And someone from the Manufacturing Institute in Washington, D.C. was there and invited me down. And from there, I was nominated for this year's 2015 STEP Award for manufacturing the product. And it just the support kept building after that of people supporting Made in America products. I've been offered several licensing deals that I've turned down as production would have moved to China. So, I still struggle the same as others. This is the first of 8 products that I've designed. But even with, you know, all the good things that are happening, there's still real struggles that go on in manufacturing, and I still have that passion to get the word out. Last year, we were in the running for Oprah's Favorite Things list. And I found out actually the day that I spoke at the opening ceremonies for Manufacturing Week. I got home that day, put my feet up, and saw an email from Oprah's team just with 2 questions. One, does it come in colors? 2, can you handle mass volume? So, of course, I said yes to both. And at the time, we couldn't do either. But we took the challenge anyway. And but then I realized at the time, you know, one component we could not keep up with the level that we would need to. I knew that in my gut. So I was actually relieved when we didn't get Oprah's Favorite Things list last year. Now I started really looking at processes and how things are being done. And over the summer, you know, I had struggles in getting my product made again. One component was taking my last order took 7 weeks, and it was a tiny order, and 10% of the stock was damaged. And, you know, I took a giant leap of faith, and I, you know, picked up my 400-pound tool, loaded it in the back of my vehicle.
Yeah, just one quick second. So when you came up, you're just going to get into this device, so the listeners know, this is a neat little handheld, therapy tool. But BJ is now going to get into kind of why she came up after meeting Chris Harvey with the American-made movie. She, Chris said, yeah, you got to, maybe meet Mark. But what's neat with her story from New Jersey, she comes up to Buffalo to get this component made. And BJ, you can take over from there. Tell them about this rubber ball.
Chris Harvey from the American-made movie was also a huge supporter when I was on my quest. He gave me advice on making portions of the documentary. We got stuff with getting information into the school systems to help fill the skills gap. And I could talk about that for hours, but I won't. And so he said, make sure you meet up with Mark when you're up there. Went to the new rubber manufacturer and finished up, and it was about 6 or 7 miles down the road. Mark agreed to meet with me, and it was scheduled maybe a 15-30 minute meet and greet kind of thing, and it ended up being 3 hours because I think we were both hatched from the same pod of discussing manufacturing, and gave me tours of his metal manufacturing facility. And, I like getting all that detail. Actually had great ideas thinking, maybe Mark and his team can make my point-of-sale displays because I have something so specific in my mind that I want different. But that's how it happened. And the two of us are big talkers. So I was wondering, who would be talking the most today because both of us are so excited about manufacturing. And it's thrilling for me to be able to make a product that, it's a self-massage tool. It counters the ill effects of sitting in tech neck, and now it's in consideration for so many other applications. I mean, Fortune 500 companies such as Bain Capital, they manage the assets of $7 billion. It's an essential tool now for their employees. And I go and teach offsites, but that interaction with Mark got me fired up again. And then meeting the new rubber manufacturer right down the road, they got me fired up about getting my prototype number 2, 3, 4, and 5 out on the market as well.
And they treated you real well, this rubber manufacturer in our area, to take on, because BJ knows every component, where it came from. I believe there was California components. There's everything, BJ. And that's what I kind of loved hearing, how much you were totally for that 100%, just a belief in keeping these jobs here.
Oh, 100%. And one of the things that frustrates me, and I'm non-political on either side. I work with both sides, I'm just like you, Mark. I care about, the country is my party. When I heard someone who's running talk about all the products that he has made in China and overseas, and saying, if I can make it here, and I actually penned a note to him and said, I'm a small manufacturer. I make every single component, and I have self-funded. I bootstrap my company. If I can do it, please let me sit with me for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I promise you, give me an opportunity to map out a strategy for you. If I can do it with my own self-financed budget, I can help you do it as well. And that's what, it might take longer. I mean, just to get, I just added cloth bags as an added incentive for the product. It took me 5 months to source one that in the United States that was a reasonable price. I mean, you definitely have to do your homework, but it's worth it. It's completely worth it.
I have a question for you. Did you have a lot of foreign-made makers try to get you to move your product to be produced by them?
Oh, yes. Yes, even that, they actually attend manufacturing meetings and summits here in the United States. I participated in the Global Manufacturing Summit in Washington, D.C. last November, and there were some of the biggest manufacturers around the globe talking about the skills gap. And these people, some of them already knew about me. And the month, a few months prior to it, I was at a manufacturing event that was hosted at NJIT that was sponsored by my Senator Booker. And I stood in the middle of the room. It was the top 400, 500 manufacturers in the area of products. And I stood in the middle of the room and I said, I need the following components made in the United States. Can anyone help me? I'm not looking for you to finance it. I'm just saying I have this business right now. And not one person approached me other than two people from foreign companies that were attending that event said, hey, we can make it for you right now.
Unbelievable. Rich, yeah. I want you to welcome our special guest.
Thank you. BJ, how you doing? It's Rich. I was texting you last night. Sorry for the late text. I got a feeling that you're probably a little bit of a night owl also with your work.
It was,
you've got some energy,
Rich. There's no hours when you're a manufacturer in the U.S. I mean, my day started at 5 in the morning and ended about 11 last night, so you understand that.
Well, Mark's had a great statement that he's mentioned before. And I think that everyone can get it, but business owners in particular really get it. Mark, I think you've said in the past, we'll make sure I get this right, entrepreneurs are the only people who work 100 hours a week, so we don't need to work 40 hours a week.
Yes, Rich. I haven't said that in a little while.
I have a T-shirt that says I have 99 problems.
I'm sure that you, that you did not learn that at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Business that you didn't attend. So I'm sure you picked that up somewhere. BJ, I want to ask you something. First off, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
It is abundantly clear and obvious how passionate you are about what you're doing. That is still the greatest sales and marketing tool known to humankind, about loving what it is that you do. So here's the question I have for you. And this is not a gotcha or political question. Do you think, do you attribute your success, the fact that you had a business, right? You were working in a company, Hurricane Sandy came in, basically wiped you out, you had to start anew. Do you attribute your business success to just sheer dumb luck, like you won the lottery?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. You know, I when people say, what's your one word that describes you? And some people say, I don't know my word. My word is relentless. You know, I have my word is relentless. I have a relentless desire to promote my product, promote manufacturing. And one thing that I don't do is I don't use the spotlight just for myself. And I think everyone on the call is the same way. And people in manufacturing, I believe, are the same way. And entrepreneurs, I'm very fortunate that I get a lot of press and TV time. And I always try to invite someone else along with me to help highlight, because we benefit when we help someone else up as well and shed the light on someone else. So I think that it's not luck at all. I believe it's complete relentless, because I can tell you with certainty, I was turned down at least 4,000 times last year. I added it up when I look at how many things, and not just specific about my product line, but in general in business. But that's so what? It's 4,000 times, but I move on. And, you know, I have great mentors. You know, Damon John, you can, you know, it's amazing who you can reach out to. You know, you look at what he's doing now. He's part of the council with the White House to encourage entrepreneurship. And he used to be known as Mr. China on Shark Tank. And now he's really looking at other alternatives in the U.S. That's a huge, huge change. You know, and you know, I like to think that each of us has the opportunity to help encourage and spread change through our community politicians. I mean, my local mayor, my senators, governors. Each of us can help bring about change. You know, you know, when that one phrase, if you think you're too small to make a difference, you know, try sleeping with the mosquito in the room. You know, it's we all have that voice You know, I think, you know, people like Mark, who I've met, you know, he's bringing about change. He doesn't need to maintain all these businesses and all this work, but he cares about giving jobs the same as I care about giving jobs. You know, I want to see my communities rebuild, and it's not going to rebuild by, you know, bringing, you know, sending business over to China and Taiwan.
You're absolutely right, BJ. I want to tell you something. And you know what is happening as a result of people like Mark, efforts like American Workers Radio, is that a lot of people are being influenced not to buy foreign stuff if they at least don't have a balance of products in the store for you to choose from. Many people that I meet in the festivals and the gatherings that I go to, people say, I'm just doing without, because I'm really disappointed that my dollars are supporting so many things that are foreign, and yet I have nothing in the store for me to choose from that's American made. That is the biggest plus that we have been able to do. And I thank people like Rich Logis, Larkin Connolly is on travel today. And Mark Andel has been a soldier through this entire effort. He's really unbelievable. And you really met up with the right man, BJ.
Oh, yeah.
The two of you are energy plus.
After a three-hour, I didn't want to call it a meeting because we were walking the whole time and discussing ideas and creativity, and not in a selfish way. And, wow, what can we do to really bring about change? And I feel the same way when I was talking to Chris Harvey from the American Made movie. I mean, I still remain in contact with him, you know, whenever I think of something, hey, this might work for you, or vice versa. You know, and the folks at NJIT, their learning network, they have been a huge support for the state of New Jersey in general, of creating. We had our first Makers Day ever in the state of New Jersey in February. That was, you know, set up by just a few people, and that we had it at 150 locations, and it was spearheaded by a core group of team at the NJIT, Gail Speck, Ray Vicari, and Mike Marchetti. Like, these guys, you know, Gail came down when I received my STEP award to Washington, D.C. I didn't attend NJIT. I have no interest, like no vested interest. They took a vested interest in me because they know that I'm also taking a vested interest in the initiatives that they're putting in place to get middle school kids, high school kids, the education. So when they get out of high school, they get manufacturing jobs. They get the skill sets. They end up with not having a college debt. They're getting some of them are getting a junior college degree through the initiatives. And it's a small group of people that are sparking this renaissance in manufacturing.
You're right. And you know, BJ, I want to tell you this too, that a lot of our educators, in addition to the national politicians, have disappointed America for the last 30 plus years by pulling out the trades and the industrial arts programs from the school. If you look up on Google right now, you will see that there are 600,000 skilled workers needed today to fill jobs that we don't have enough young people coming out of the schools to fill. That's very unfortunate. That's the It's the first time in 30 years that we've gone through something like this, and this doesn't make sense. And yet when you do speak with the school districts, they say, oh, it's a money issue, it's a this issue. Uh-huh. And how did it ever get dropped? Uh-huh. 30 years ago, people started to say manufacturing is going to be something, a thing of the past. It's all going to be robotics and things like that. And now they see that manufacturing is every part of our life. Everything we have on, everything that we do, everything that we watch, our cell phones, it's all manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few sectors of the economy that don't depend on manufacturing. Yes, yeah. BJ.
And the skills gap is something where, I mean, you look at not just the kids coming out of school, but you have military veterans that are returning that have the problem-solving skills available. I spoke with John Ratzenberger. We were both at the NJIT event together last year, and we talked about, you know, when we were kids, if we were on our bicycles, we fixed our bike chain if it broke down. We didn't have cell phones to call and say we're going to be late. We had to be home by the time the lights came on the, you know, on the street corners, and before that we had to be home. And so that you know, the militaries have that you know, that ability to problem solve. So in addition to training the young people, you know, we could be putting, you know, plans in place for military right now of saying, okay, here's a, you know, I'm very proud of the fact that, you know, my state has two mobile manufacturing facility units that can be used for, you know, 2 to 3 month training programs to get them into facilities. And because that global skill gap is over 2 million, at least last November when I was part of that summit. And to tell you a real telltale sign of what's taking place, I spent some time with the biggest employer of the United Arab Emirates, who was also a Harvard person. So we hit it off. And his manufacturing deficit, he is filling with women. 40% of his management force is women, which is unprecedented in that part of the world. So if they're feeling it there, and there were also people from Germany, and we all know in manufacturing, that's a standard. The German standard in manufacturing is duplicated so many times because it's so efficient. And they're having problems of filling the skills gap. And the same thing, I not because I'm a woman I'm saying it, because I believe it's for everyone, but they're looking specifically at training women. And also they're looking at their own military people to begin training, which we should be doing as well when we look at the deficit in jobs for veterans coming home.
Absolutely. You know, BJ, it's almost immoral to see that our school system has let our youth down. It's sad mm-hmm. because you can graduate from college with a huge debt and a degree that looks good on paper, but it takes you nowhere in the long run. And that is what we have been pushing. And believe it or not, in my travels, and probably Mark too, he sees that there's a whole new change in the people. The attitude of the people is no longer, well, we have to depend on national leaders. Absolutely not. National mm-hmm. leaders are the last thing they want to hang their hat on. And by the way, by going out and looking for American made, speaking up where you shop, and making it known to the clerks and management and the investors, more progress has been made than anything that could happen in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
I agree. BJ, Mike, and Rich, I wish Larkin was on. He must be. Hopefully he pulls his car over somewhere and calls in, because BJ's got this energy. This entrepreneur energy, or, you know, we call it rebuilding the American dream, but we need that spark, that can-do spirit. And BJ, you have all that. And, Rich, I did sneak, you know, BJ, a little of your history. So, you know, BJ, Rich started from, you know, basically nothing, too, and had this idea that everybody kind of probably laughed at him. But, Rich, you know, go back through, you feel the entrepreneur spirit here, correct? I mean, just talk about that a little bit, Rich, what you went through and what you see and hear today.
Thank you, Mark. You know, ultimately, BJ, I have a, I guess, for better or worse, somewhat of an interesting background. I started as a journalist. That was my first job out of college. I was a newspaper reporter for 4 years. I went into finance after that, had my own financial advisory practice. So, as I like to joke, and please, BJ, no offense at all to family or friends who are in finance. I always joke that I went from basically making no money to having to screw people over to make money. So that was kind of my history, you know, journalism into finance. And I never screwed anyone over, and I don't think that's true of all financial people. So 7 years ago, I had an idea for a company that is my company is what I do is I sell barcoding technologies to businesses, hardware, software, all kinds of offerings. I had no background whatsoever in technology. When I started my company, I always joke with people that when I started my company, I was not low income. I was no income when I started this thing up. So after 7 years and given myself one-year business plans, which if Larkin were on now, if Larkin had taken a look at my business plan, he would have laughed me out the door. Yeah, I just stuck with it, BJ. I just stuck with it first and foremost because I believe that I could make the business succeed, even not knowing very much about what it was that I was doing. So in some way, a little bit of my ignorance was bliss. 7 years later, through the ups and downs of owning a small business, because sometimes the waters are choppy and sometimes it's smooth sailing, but I am happy and do have pride to say that after 7 years of business, our sales have gone up every single year mm-hmm. higher than the prior year. Now, that's not because I'm, you know, a great business leader and I'm so smart and all of these things. We've got a great team. I've got great relationships. But ultimately, it was about and continues to be about sticking with what it was that I believed could make this thing work. And after 7 years, that's really enough time to know if what you're doing is succeeding or not, mm-hmm. if it can succeed. So when I speak with, almost virtually all of my customers are businesses. Mm-hmm. So I talk to small business owners all the time. Sometimes the news is good, BJ, sometimes it's not. Small
right.
business owners, I just want to make a point going back to my question to you before. I really believe that a lot of small business owners, in America now, regardless of their political affiliations. I really think, BJ, that a lot of small business owners are growing very weary and tired, constantly being told that they're lucky, that they're a lottery winner. Small business owners, entrepreneurs, they take financial risks. They make sacrifices. They make family sacrifices, friend sacrifices. This is ultimately the thing. Those are the things that are going to make or break business. Now, there's a lot of factors, as you know, Mark, and everyone knows, that sometimes are unanticipated, we couldn't have expected. But in hearing you talk about what you're doing right now, I mean, you went through a damn hurricane. I moved in Hurricane Sandy. You know, I went from New York to Florida in Hurricane Sandy before the gas ran out. So right off the bat, I'm listening to you talk about this stuff. You got wiped out. And for a lot of people, unfortunately, they wouldn't have been able to recover from that. So it just shows
it's still
that
a struggle. It's still a struggle. I still have to raise my house after I did all the work. I still have to raise, but that's a whole other issue, and that won't sideline me from my goals and my mission in business.
And, you know, I think what we're talking about is hard work produces luck. I always say that, you know, Rich, you asked that question about luck, but hard work produces luck. You know, and we've got that drive, that you never quit attitude. I always said it's like a mother nurturing its child. That's a business. Mm-hmm. That's an entrepreneur. And unfortunately, we're a dying breed in a way, but we encourage. I think every American house should have a garage on it. I say that probably a couple times a week because that's where I started, out of the garage. You know, we talk about family, you know, great family. I got great people, great wife, great children. You know, but, and BJ, to have your mom come up with you, and you had your mom demo the thing, and mom puts up with you, you know, and mom knows what you need. That's awesome. That's something we lost.
Yeah, you know, I respectfully disagree that we've lost it, because you have it, Mark. I have it. I just did a morning event with American Express Open Small Business, which they're huge supporters of.
Yeah,
small
tell us
business.
A little bit about that.
Yeah, the president of the open forum, Denise, was there, and they put together a panel of experts, and I was fortunate enough to appear on MSNBC a few times this year, and the show host, J.J. Ramberg, was there, and the whole concept of it was to help give tools to entrepreneurs who are small and ready to take the next step, who are medium. And it was a think tank. It was a breakfast think tank, and they also had small businesses showing their goods. And it was at a small business that they hosted at. It wasn't at a huge facility, and it was very intimate. And it was a very transparent talk of, this is what I'm concerned about, and no matter what the success level, and several of the people are on the TV commercials that you see, and, you know, I was fortunate they featured me in April as one of their small businesses, and, you know, it wasn't, you know, none of us are sponsored by them. They just are supporting. And it was just saying, okay, here's what I'm faced with. Here's what I'm concerned with. And it was just an open dialogue. Oh, yeah, I went through this. And one common thread was, everyone works a lot. And, you know, somehow their families are engaged in it, whether they're working it or not. And I think it's very, very important to have good business partners and consultants that you can look to and get. I don't believe it's a dying breed. I already said this, but I believe it's a renaissance, and I believe that people are fired up about the power of the small business and the entrepreneur and also manufacturing. I mean, I wear this shirt. And I think I want to manufacture them myself and have them in your store, Mark, unless you already have them. I had one that just said in giant letters, "Not made in China," and has a U.S. flag. I wear that, and I get stopped at least 10 times a day when I wear that. So, where'd you get that? I want it. Where'd you get that? I want it. So it tells me that something's happening. So
absolutely. You know, the movements have come a long way in five and a half years. We kind of woke up a giant in all of us doing this work. And I agree. Sometimes when I say not a dying breed, I don't mean as much as the skilled trades. It bothers me that the metal shops, the wood shops, the things were taken out of schools and the opportunities. Mm-hmm. These young guys, you always want them to get a spark and have them take that chance, you know, because you got to, at some point, you do all your analysis and all the homework, but at some point, you got to have that, you know, gut.
Analytics.
You got to build America.
Get your hands dirty. You have to get your hands dirty at some point and just fix something.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think about all that?
You know what? I'm listening to this, and I'm very impressed. And, BJ, you got another job. We're going to ask you to be part of our November American Made Month initiative. Last year, we started a program. The month of November, we focused on many ways to promote all of the American-made products, get people out there in their stores talking it up. In fact, it's listed on the front page of our internet site. And BJ, you're part of this committee, and I'm going to ask you to give us as much time as you can, any time that you can, on the radio, because what you're saying is exactly what we have to reawaken in more and more Americans.
I agree.
So many people that I talk to tell me, I don't know if I'll be able to accomplish it or this or that. I had a little bit of a discussion with a sports team shirt company last week, in fact, and I said to them, why can't you have this shirt made in the United States? And he said it would be cost prohibitive to the person buying the shirt. I said, well, would you do for me what I've been asking some of the importers to do for the last 2 years? I said, give me a side-by-side cost comparison. What would it cost if that shirt was made in America and then silkscreened in America as opposed to something coming in to your door from a foreign country? Can you give me a side-by-side comparison? And you know what the most of the answer is? No, I don't know what it is. All I know is what it is available to me as the retailer from my merchandiser. So, Mark, what you've been seeing in the last few years and what I've been seeing is the same thing that they're doing to all the businesses. They're giving you the bottom line, and then you take the product and you move forward. But they never want to tell us what it would cost to make in America as opposed to making it in another country.
Yeah, and one thing I'd like to say, probably about last week I had a lady, Leah from the Buffalo Visitors Bureau, bring three travel agents to my store. It was all preset. Two were within the United States, and they want to bring people to Buffalo, and one was from Germany. And three of them came to the store. I walked in. They wanted to meet me and kind of hear the story. I called the bus story. But first, the one lady said, I got to tell you, I'm blown away. I said, by what? She said, how the prices are so reasonable. Even your wigwam socks are cheaper than the big box stores, and they couldn't believe where I am at this day. Now, they've never been to the store. The lady from Germany said, I am blown away. I thought I was going to see a store that's all about one-sided. I said, no, I'm for Chinese. They visit my store. They love and they respect the Made in America symbol. It stands for pride and quality. So it blew me away, and they want to bring people from, you know, Germany to see the United States and then stop at my store. But it was nice to hear the comments. The prices are within line. Their quality products, all the things of what America was built on and what our Made in America symbol stands for.
Yes, and even when after we were done with our tour of everything you gave us, we went back to the store and we went shopping. We didn't want to do it in front of you because didn't want you to give us any kind of discount. And you know, I was my dad was even surprised when he got home. He saw the bags and he said, "Oh gosh, how much does this cost me?" And I said, "You're not even gonna believe this," you know. And you know, my mom had bought all kinds of presents for him and for different family members. You know, it was even like I use composition books. I mean, I write. I've ghostwritten 6 books so far, and I have another book coming out where I'm a named author this year. And I always use composition books. I'm old school. I use composition books. And it was thrilling to see that you had composition books there that were made in America. You know, and so from that point on, everywhere I go, you know, you could get those, you know, in the United States.
Yeah, when you say school products, me and Mike and Rich, you know, Lark, we always talking about buy your school products at least made in America. It was funny, my daughter's 12, soon to be 13 this Saturday's her birthday. She's in the 8th grade, and she called me Saturday and said, can you bring me home a composition book? And I loved it because she's remembering. She's not buying it at all these other stores. She wants it from my store, and she's 13.
I have been seeing, just for your information, I have been seeing some more school supplies with little flags and little special notations. And that is something we've been trying to promote. We discussed last week how the World Trade Organization was trying to get us to downplay flags and labels, you know, highlighting the USA. However, what we do here in the USA, no one has an objection to it. We can do anything we want. So that is why we're promoting every possible business that we can to display the American flag listed as made in the USA. I was out the other day and somebody had a sign up there with an American flag and it had 100% imprinted in the United States. So I went over right away. I thought, oh God, it's great. Probably everything is, you know, going to be American made. I went over and I looked at the shirt and I said to him, why is this not made in America? He said, well, it's imprinted. He said, it's imprinted. I met up with you last year at this festival, and I want people to know that we are 50-50. The shirt's from there. The imprinting is from here. I said, boy, find a way to get around something. But we want to find more shirt companies. We want to find more manufacturers. We want to bring down the millions of job opportunities that are left unopened right now because we don't have enough skilled workers coming out of our schools.
Mike, I'd like to bring up last weekend for September 11th, Friday and Saturday, I was invited to Louisville, Ohio, which is Constitution, Ohio. This Ricky Lee and the full band was there, but this Rhonda Griffin had called me, and boy, she's like BJ and like all of us. I'll get her on at one point, but she has so much energy, and she invited me to Constitution, Ohio, where the Constitution was declared Constitution, Ohio back in the 50s. And what an awesome small town America. What a great group. They treated us like top notch, had a parade, I sat on a car. It was just crazy stuff. But you see this small town America and how what the big box, even the Walmart, had done to it at one point, but they took me to a plant that was closing. But you felt small town America. If you feel that feeling, and Mike, I know you got around Philadelphia, and Rich, you've seen it, and BJ, it's just when you feel you could help these people and you could bring back work and give them jobs so they can save their town, and they want a store there is why they had me. Now, you know, one thing I want to also just, BJ, do you want to explain your product a little more just before we end the show?
Oh, sure, yes. It's a self-massage tool that you use standing upright. It's for neck, cricks, knots in the shoulders, achy feet, hands, carpal tunnel, plantar fasciitis. It's a ball smaller than a tennis ball. It's on an antimicrobial cord, and you know, someone flips it over their shoulder and rolls against the wall, both sides of the back, doing like mini squats or just moving side to side to now. Sitting has the same negative impact on your health as smoking. So someone sitting 10 hours a day, it's as bad as smoking. And those are studies by Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, Harvard. So if people don't get up at least every hour for 2 minutes, or what I like to call take two and renew, then even if you run, work out half an hour at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, it's not enough to counter the ill effects of sitting. So the product really started taking off with the realization that, you know, if we don't do something, our health is going to go down. And, there started being, now tech neck is a medical syndrome. So, you know, for every inch we're leaning forward, it's 10 pounds of pressure and on our neck and shoulders. So my background, I went to Cornell for strategic HR management, and then Harvard, I took some classes there in employment. And so I wrote global policies. So my background in working with, being on a board of directors, being in charge of code of conduct, was always that business side. But then my obsession was always getting people out of pain. So that's where my two worlds, you know, started meeting. And when I started producing the products, initially it was for, you know, elite pro athletes. You know, it's used by two Super Bowl MVPs, an NBA MVP. It goes on down the line. But they kept giving it to their business managers, and it just started circulating. It grew organically that way.
BJ, what's funny, when you mentioned this device, you said, hey, you got a Walmart? I'll show you. And I love that.
As long as you got a wall, you got to do it against the wall. You know, and the goal is to get it, these take two and renew recovery stations in every airport terminal when you arrive at hotels. We're gonna set one up right at the Made in America store since it's a destination location. So this way people are coming by busloads, you know, they can try the product out and I believe it was one of Mark's team members who just thought up the concept, try me, then buy me.
Yeah.
So, Mark, that sounds like a wonderful idea. Get that wall ready, and boy, I'll tell you, some of those tourists are going to love this.
Yeah, I'd like to say, you know, Mike and Rich and BJ, you know, this week Friday is my big fall festival, which is always fun with three bands, but we're going to release this groundbreaking news, and I'd like to talk about it, Mike, next week. And we got a big – the Made in America is on the move, and this is going to be a big, big deal this Friday. We're looking for national attention. BJ, you're going to drive up. Thank you. Sue had told me you're coming up. And, you know, everybody's invited. Rich and Mike, of course, you're always invited. But, yeah, I just want to tell everybody that, you know, this Friday, that's it's a great day, and you're going to see a whole – we're taking Made in America to a whole nother plateau.
Mark, if you get a report or some pictures of that, make
sure
you send it to us. We'll put it up on the site. And by the way, BJ, we're going to link your site to our site today. I'm going to ask Henry to put that up there. I did have a chance to see your video, and I thought it was very interesting. And I think it's very good. It's a good way to get this thing moving. What you said is very true. People are so involved with their computers, they don't get up enough, they don't walk around, and it's a health issue and everything else.
Right.
And what you're doing, I love it.
BJ,
remember what I told you. You
gotta send Henry one of these. Henry's the quiet guy behind the scenes down there. A great guitarist, and he keeps quiet. He had some difficulties today, but he's going to need one of these exercise therapy balls.
You got it.
BJ, where you're not that far from us, when you come into Philadelphia area, make sure you have to get a few of those balls, and we will have a demonstration here in the museum downstairs where the tourists can go wild with the ball, and we'll have a good time with it.
We could set up a Take Two and Renew there. I go out to Philly quite a bit. I work a lot of professional athletes still where I will, when they're in town, I'll visit them. And, definitely. And you know, one other thing I wanted to mention is that with the Made in America stuff, you know, as the business grows and I prepare for success, you know, I'm even looking at what software company. It took me effort, and I found a software company called Fishbowl that was 100% made in America. It could have saved them about $1 million to have it made overseas, but they made the, and it goes with my existing software that I have now, but as the business grows, but I think we all, if we just all take those steps to ask, how did you develop something? Where is it made? It just keeps growing.
It is.
You know,
BJ, I want to tell you something. Thanks to efforts like this radio broadcast, people like Mark and Rich and Larkin and even David Muir and so many other people, we have now hit the giant in the belly because the people see that unemployment is not going to get them anywhere. And people on any type of government program, 90% of those people don't want to be on those programs. They want to be out with a job and self-sufficient. But when you see such a large number of the jobs that could and should be still here in America outsourced around the world, then you see you have to take action. Right now, America's economy is 70% of our economy is depending on Americans buying something. Well, it's always been very high. However, right now, that 70% includes mostly, in many categories, foreign-made products available at our stores. And we have to bring that balance back. We talk about balance, and it has to happen. And by the way, BJ, when you can, please take a look at all of the links on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, because that is where we get a lot of our listeners from. In fact, the other day, I want to thank the gentleman who came and gave me that sticker, the pin. He gave me a pin to put on my jacket. It says, Buy American. I want to thank him, and I want to thank the Irish-American community who supports us, the Polish-American community who is very supportive of us, and the Italian-American and the Puerto Ricans. We have many supporters. I will acknowledge all of our advertisers tomorrow and each day during the broadcast, and a special thank you will be done to them again this Saturday during my regular 11 to 12 a.m. broadcast. I would like to note that next Wednesday, this is a one-time change only, the 23rd, we will be broadcasting live from 2 until 3 p.m. And like everything else that's happening, the Jewish community is celebrating their special Yom Kippur services in the morning. So they will go from 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, so, or maybe a little longer. But we will be here next Wednesday, the 23rd, at 2 in the afternoon. And I'm going to ask all of you to spread the word, and I'll ask that the email that goes out list that as also a one-time change. But BJ, we will list you on the front page. Rich, what do you have to say? We're still on for another few minutes.
Couple of questions, BJ. Two actually, please. First question is, and if I may, let me just ask both so you get a chance to think about it. First question is, how cool was Carol Alt? And secondly, Body Works Enterprises, aside from the product you make, you offer some other services. Am I correct in that?
Yes. Yes. And to answer your first question, Carol Alt is a sweetheart. She is as kind as can be. And to this, she made me the best cup of tea I've ever had to date. She's warm, just supermodel explains her as a person because she's just extremely kind. That's the first thing. And Body Works Enterprises is our parent company, which was formed in 1999. And it started out as a company where we taught movement, to children through my athletes. The first one that really gave me a chance was Ray Lewis of the Ravens, and he does a ton of community work, and it just kept growing and growing. So we always did these events, and the events were always free to kids, and they still are, to get them moving, to get them in wellness, and that's where our ghostwriting and writing services fall under that umbrella. And then it organically grew to the product line out of necessity, out of what my players need. I have some guys in Buffalo now, so this weekend I'll have some of the Bills and also some of the Patriots. So it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm.
And your website, can you let our listeners know your websites, please, addresses?
Sure. The one for the product line is bodyworksball.com. And the other website, which has more photos, is bodyworksenterprisesllc.com. On Twitter, I'm at bodyworksbj. Instagram, bodyworksball. And I also have a Facebook page under bodyworksball.
Very good.
I'm very active, posting very active on it.
Very good. BJ, you sound like someone who is going to be a great part of our radio program. Anytime you have the time, we want you to be here with us. Don't forget,
I really appreciate
you're
it.
Part of the committee, November American Made Month. I want you to look that up on the internet site, and you'll see Congressional Edition. I want to thank Rich again for bringing on our guest Jennifer last week. She was outstanding. I had a lot of compliments of the broadcast and about the things she said. Many people would like to clarify some of the things that were said, especially about labeling. And it's really up to people like us to take the bull by the horns, because Washington hasn't done what they were supposed to have been doing for a long time. You know, Benjamin Franklin said in Philadelphia on September the 17th, 1787, and that was at the signing of the Constitution here in Philadelphia, not the independence, but the Constitution was passed in 1787. He said, "We have a republic if we can keep it." It's people like us that have to restore faith in our republic. Our country can't be outsourced around the world anymore. We have to look out for one another. And Mark and yourself and Rich and Larkin and Henry and all of our listeners, I'm really proud to go out to these events and have the opportunity to talk to people. It's people of all ages, people of all nationalities, people who are part of unions, non-unions, individuals that come to these festivals. They come many times just to see who I am or who the people are and come out for great entertainers. We had great entertainment. It was absolutely beautiful. And the thing is, it's the quality of people that come out and tell you. You see that they really want to see America move ahead. It's what's happening in all of the national debates that we're hearing. People are saying the days of giving things away is done. It's now time to earn things again and put yourself back on the map by the skills that you have and what you do for yourself and your family in the future. As we come near the end of our broadcast today, I want to say thank you again, Mark. Any closing remarks?
No, I just want to say thank you, BJ. Awesome job, awesome energy. Entrepreneurship is, you know, a tough game, I always tell everybody. And wish you great success, and, you know, I'll see you Friday.
Have a good time up there in Buffalo. How's the weather going to be, Mark?
It's looking good, knocking on wood, you know. We're looking good.
BJ, and if you need to get in contact with me, it's michael@americanworkersradio.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until we have the opportunity to be together again, I hope that God will bless you and yours, and God will bless America, and that God will give wisdom to the people who are our leaders so that they'll see the need to restore educational programs where our children have a future, educational programs where they have skills to go out and be, you know, productive their entire life. Well, that's all I got to say, guys. Mark, BJ, Rich, Henry, everybody listening, please go out and spread the word. Don't be afraid to ask, where is that product made? And if it's not made in America for now, maybe it's time for you to shop elsewhere. Fly your flags proudly. God bless you. Talk to all of you soon. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 2 in the afternoon, I wish you and yours the very best.
Have a great weekend,
BJ.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Great. Thanks. Bye-bye.